My name is David Jennings with Big Jolly Politics. We're here today with Chris Daniel, the Republican nominee for Harris County Clerk, as part of our continuing coverage of the 2010 general election. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing fine today.
Doing fine today, huh?
Not too bad.
Well, let me ask you something. Why did you decide to run?
In investigating the needs and wants of the legal community as I was going to night school for South Texas College of Law, it became apparent that the current incumbent was basically making a mess of the good works and the infrastructure that was in place for the last 16 years.
Really?
And so I found it a duty more than anything else that I need to get in there and make sure that we put structure back into this county office.
And this is as you were going to law school?
As I was going to night school, working full-time, working full-time as an engineer for what is now National Oil Well Varco.
National Oil Arco?
National Oil Well Varco.
Varco, okay. What'd you do there?
I designed drill bits, drill pipe, tubing casing, managed research projects, managed production projects, and managed basically streamlining production flows. And what I mean by that, to give you some detail, is if a project would take X number of weeks and it would require X number of staff, we found ways of cutting costs and efficiency so that we could make it the fastest possible at the best quality at the lowest cost.
And while you were working full-time,
yes,
did you go to law school? How did all that work?
I went to night school about 3 days a week at South Texas College of Law for 3.5 years, and was also elected to the Board of Trustees in 2006 for Lone Star College System, and would perform my duties for that board as well. And I joke that the only way I got done with all that is that I didn't have any kids.
Yeah, I know that. You are a busy guy. I can attest to that. Well, let me ask you something. What were your duties at Lone Star College? Because one of the criticisms of you is that you have no experience in government.
Sure.
And so what are your current experiences, I guess? And can you kind of relate how that would lead into public service as a district clerk?
Sure. The Board of Trustees is basically the equivalent of a board for a Fortune 500 company. We manage a budget of over $252 million. We have over 5,000 employees. We have 7 major campuses, 8 satellites with more on the way, and 2 university centers. And so while we don't get paid a dime to be on the board, the purpose of the board member is to serve in a similar function of being behind the scenes of the chancellor, who is the de facto CEO, and the presidents, which would be the division heads of the various campuses. And so we set the policy, we set the direction, and we set the budget for the entire system.
So do you have a full vote in that, or how does that work?
We are all at large, and so we have a full vote. So I don't just vote for CyFair, I vote for the entire system.
And how big is that budget?
That budget is currently $252 million and growing.
Out of curiosity, how big is the district clerk budget?
The district clerk's budget, last time I checked, was about $30 million.
Okay, so you're going to work in full time, you're going to law school, you're seeing that there's some things that you're not liking about the way the incumbent that was elected in 2008.
Sure.
You're not liking about the way progress is being made. Can you explain some of that?
Let me give you some examples. As online filing has come to fruition under the current clerk, you have necessary holes in the system. For example, if you have an expunged record, that record should be off the books, off the system, because it is necessarily expunged. Yet everything in that document is still online on the system for the district clerk's office. If you are in a family law case and you have a child who is a minor, their information necessarily must be protected, and yet that information can be found online at the district clerk's office, opening the door to child predators. If you have an old case at the district clerk's office where your social security number, your banking accounts, your address, anything a thief might need to steal your identity, that is available today online at the district clerk's office.
Okay, now, We met probably, what, a year and a half ago now, something like that?
Sure.
It was a rough primary. Is this what you talked about during the primary, this sort of online system that, I guess, at your computer terminal, certain information is blocked, but if you want that, you can go downtown? You know, explain that.
We have fleshed this idea out since the primary, but this was one of the primary reasons why I began running. And during the primary, we mostly talked about parking issues. Now, while Commissioner's Court is responsible for infrastructure and so forth, the district clerk may raise the issue so that they can address it. Otherwise, the Commissioner's Court, led by County Judge Ed Emmett, won't be aware of a problem unless the other elected officials that are part of county government raise the problem. And so I am aware that there are numerous complaints with people trying to serve jury duty that they drive all the way downtown, they pay an exorbitant fee for parking once they found their way, because most people don't drive downtown, and once they've made their way from Katy, from Spring, from Kingwood, from Cy-Fair, from Pasadena, from A-Leaf to downtown, they're sitting in a cattle call room called the jury assembly room, only to be told roughly around noon, hey, guess what? We didn't need you. Go home.
Well, isn't that a traditional thing, though? I mean, that's been happening. I mean, I'm a little bit older than you, but that sure happened even in my time.
But we could use engineering analysis to address that so that we can streamline how many people we're calling. Because right now, because too few people show up for jury duty, they basically send out about 10,000 notices, and for every 10,000 notices, they get 400 back. And there is necessarily a problem if you have to send out 10,000 notices and 400 show up and you don't even need the full 400. Not even close.
So countywide. Okay, so how would the district clerk exactly address that? You're talking about an engineering study.
Sure.
How would you do that?
Well, we could use statistical analysis to see how many people would typically be needed on any given day for a docket size. And so if we know that the docket has X number of cases, that we're statistically going to need X number of people to show up, and therefore we only need to send out X number of notices, and not just a standard, every day we're going to send 10,000 notices, and every day we're going to get 400 people to show up.
When are those dockets set?
Those dockets are set by the judge, and it varies. They're not all set at the same time. Okay, because the judge is individually in charge of their court.
So how could you do a flexible system like that?
Well, as they set their docket, because that's now online, we can immediately measure as that gets input.
And how much time would that take to notify the citizen? And you see what I'm saying? What's the timing of all of that?
Well,
is there going to be enough time to actually do that?
I think there will, and the reason is that, without going into too much detail, because remember, I'm not the district clerk yet. I think that using technology today, using predictive analysis, using some of the technology that I studied way back in 2000 at the University of Texas in just a few of the electrical engineering classes I took, we can easily implement an algorithm that would allow us to immediately take that data and immediately come up with a result, and then immediately go to an auto dial or an auto email or an auto text when it's available to that citizen, say, guess what, we don't need you, we thank you for being a citizen, we don't want to waste your time, don't come all the way downtown for nothing.
Do you see something like that being implemented? What is the term of your office that you're seeking?
4 years.
Four-year term. Sure. Do you see in 4 years being able to get something like that
done? I would like to. Now, to make that a campaign promise, I would have to make sure that we would have the budget and that we would have to that we had the IT staff available. I'm aware that we are in a recession right now, and I'm aware that county government is trying to put the squeeze on every office so that they can survive this recession. Even Jerry Eversole is talking about a tax hike, apparently, according to the Chronicle. But if we have the budget, if we have the staff, I think we can do it in 4 years.
Okay, less. Let's go back to that online information real quick. I look back in my notes, and at a Northwest Memorial Forum, you did mention an online record system, but
yep.
You're saying now that you've matured that idea? Or
we were talking back then that we needed to address combining online filing systems for the for streamlining the various ways that you can file a document, whether it's federal with PACER, whether it's local with ProDoc or e-filing, or whether it's with the county clerk's office. And we want to make sure that we can basically come up with a one-stop shop filing so that it's not only easier on the attorneys, easier on the judges, but lowers the cost for the average citizen that's using an attorney. Because if you have a case that's a federal case and you have a portion of it that either gets removed or dismissed, you want to make sure that you can send those documents to the right place as quickly as possible without having to refile and re-image and redo whatever with the same document in three different places.
Okay, I get it.
So we expanded that to now include the issue, because this intimately concerns the incumbent, of protecting you from identity theft, protecting children from child predators, and overall just making sure that we have security in place so that as we move further and further online, that you, the citizen, are being protected.
Okay, I read a Chronicle article, I think it was last week, by Chris Moran.
Sure.
And it seemed to be mocking that idea, saying that he had a quote from the incumbent, Lauren Jackson, saying that it would be illegal to do that.
Now, what Lauren was referring to is redacting the physical documents. And I am a fan of Chris Moran, but he unfortunately misquoted me on that, and he did submit an extra clarification on the district clerk's race online, but it was already printed. And what I had said to him repeatedly is that we were not redacting the physical documents, which is correct. That is illegal to redact the physical documents, but that we were going to have an online redaction system. Kind of like if you go onto Google on the certain documents, it will automatically put in a black field over certain areas, even though if you were to get that physical document from the Library of Congress or from wherever the source is, it would be unredacted.
I didn't even know that technology existed, to be honest with you. How'd you find out about it?
Well, as an engineer, we have gone through numerous websites and numerous sources of information to find what was available. What is the state of the art?
The state of the art.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you something. You went through a very, very tough primary.
Sure.
And now we're hearing some of the same type of arguments against you from the Democrat in this race, through surrogates, of course.
Sure.
I just have to ask you, how do you, as a candidate for office, this is a personal thing, sure, how do you put up with it on a day-to-day basis?
I respond by basically looking at two factors. One, if the incumbent himself is not personally attacking me, but his surrogates are, why is the incumbent allowing that to happen? Why is the incumbent not making a statement that, look, hey, they don't talk for me. I don't stand for these lies, these slanderous items, or these misinformations. I look at that as a question of character. But without going on the personal attack, I basically look at it as, look, if they're going to attack me on these issues, which are clearly false or clearly misstated, therefore they must be scared. If he's doing such a good job, if the staff of his are such wonderful folks that are doing the attacks for him, why are they doing these attacks? Why is that necessary? If you are doing such a good job, why is it necessary to even go down that road? And I remember that, and I just keep that to heart, because that allows me to persevere, because then I know that I'm winning. Then I know I've got them on the ropes.
So one of the reasons I asked that question is that, sure, I criticized you pretty hard,
sure,
early in the primary.
Sure.
Because of the way the primary system worked.
Yeah.
And actually your answer was, well, that's the way it works. I'll never forget that. So I actually thought that was pretty good. I mean, you have to play on the field you're given.
Yeah.
But
I try not to take it personal. I'll give you an anecdote. At the moment, my incumbent's wife is in the hospital, and I try not to play anything that would lead to a personal attack to him, because she has to listen to it too. His daughter may one day have to look back on all this as well. And that personalizes it. And then I realized that while we are in a rough and tumble Texas politics, we can rise above that and make sure that we're not getting too personal. And up to maybe 2 weeks ago, my opponent and I had been very friendly and had not really gotten into any fisticuffs politically.
Let me ask you about another thing that sort of hits you in the primary. And I see that the surrogates are pulling that out again for the general. The charge that you were a Scientologist. Now, we talked about this back in, I think, maybe January, end of January, February.
Sure.
And you related to me the story of the entire background of that. And I just thought it was a beautiful story about how a person comes to know Christ and gets back to their faith. Would you like to share that with us?
Absolutely. Look, when my dad was killed by a drunk driver, my mother, who you need to know, is she's from Holland. She's actually from the island of Curaçao. She's from Holland, and she's new to this country. She's been here for about 28 years, and she had no family, no real connections here in the United States other than the family friends that she and my dad had made prior to his passing. And she didn't really have a way of overcoming the grief and the loss of somebody maliciously killing my dad by taking a legal left-hand turn while driving drunk. And so whatever she did to rise above that, I will never fault her on that, because she raised two beautiful kids and she survived 15 years later, making sure that she held it all together. And on my own, through the Boy Scouts, and then also through my local church, and then through the University of Texas Baptist Student Organization, and then later on back here in just local Bible study classes in Second Baptist Church, I've come to know the Lord. And I think it's a personal decision that everybody makes on their own, and that it has to be personal, because you can grow up in anything all you want, but in the end of the day, your own decision is what makes it real.
Oh, I agree with you. And you know from my writing that, I just don't like faith that's expedient.
Yeah.
And coming that way to know the faith that I have enjoyed, I fully understand it. And it's just remarkable when I think about it that people are attacking you for a few courses you took and for searching for yourself and for looking and finding that light that is just that shines through you. If anybody knows you, I've seen you. I've been, how many times have I been around you? 100?
I mean,
you're
more.
A busy dude. You know? I was just amazed that they would attack you for that.
It's even more amazing that the surrogates of the incumbent, who are Democrats, are choosing that path to attack, because the Democrats are supposed to be the big tent. They're supposed to include everybody. Now, what are they going to say to their Jewish friends and their African-American friends when they're going to attack somebody on religion in such a manner as to not only be considered bigotry, but to almost be considered exclusionary, much in the same way that the African-American has been excluded from many areas of life and politics simply because of the way that they were born?
Yeah, it's just an amazing thing when you think about it. So what do you do? You're a young guy. You have hobbies, anything like that?
Sure.
In other words, who is Chris Daniel, and why would I, as a suburban voter, put you in an elected position?
Well, I'm a native Houstonian. I grew up just north of Acres Homes off of 249 and Fallbrook. And back then, Fallbrook did not go all the way through behind the racetrack as it did today. I grew up enjoying Scouts, so I still like camping. I still like traveling a lot. And the reason why folks really want to know me is that I have an engineering viewpoint, a law graduate viewpoint, and an Eagle Scout viewpoint. See, when my dad was killed, the community stepped up, and the community made sure that my family was taken care of. I give the example of how Jerry Eversole's office came unannounced with his crew to make sure the lawn was mowed and that we had food for the next 3 weeks, and that anything that needed to be fixed around the house was fixed. He was probably one of the first responders on the scene and had seen what had happened and made sure, we didn't know who he was, that she was taken care of, that we were taken care of. And that put into me the idea of service, the idea that I need to give back to the community. So that's why I run for office, and I do thankless jobs on Lone Star College and other nonprofit organizations to make sure that I'm giving back, because it's not about status or glory or anything else. I everybody knows I don't get paid a dime for Lone Star.
I'm actually glad you brought that up, because that's another criticism that, oh, sure. Man, you're just using these as stepping stones. You know, is it stepping stones, or is it that inner desire that you have to be a public servant?
It's an inner desire to serve others, to give back. And I have a debt to pay to Harris County that I don't think will be paid for the rest of this life because of what people have done, what the city of Jersey Village did for me when my mother's house was flooded for the first time and we lost everything we owned without flood insurance. They made sure that I had the materials and the tools I needed to finish my Eagle Scout project, which had been approved the night our house flooded. They made sure that I had what I needed to succeed. Teachers that went out of their way knowing that I was waiting till 6 o'clock at night for various transportations to make sure I had that extra tutoring or that extra tools I needed to make straight A's to graduate on time, if not early, from high school and so forth. The community, really made sure that I had to give back to them.
Okay. Let's get back to the actual office of district clerk.
Sure.
Again, one of the criticisms is that you have no experience, but obviously, from what I'm hearing, you really do, and that story just hasn't gotten out there. Let's think about this. Let's say you do happen to get elected, mm-hmm. and you look back 10 years from now at your one or two terms, whatever it is, in office. What do you want people to remember your administration by?
I want them to remember the administration by not having to focus on it, believe it or not, because I want to be as behind the scenes as possible, that the service is so smooth, the staff are so cordial, jury duty is as least painful as possible, that they don't really think about it. It's not to have my name plastered all over the place and that they remember that my name was plastered all over the place, but that the service was so good they didn't think about it.
Let me ask you about that service. Your opponent, the incumbent, mm-hmm. Has a very good PR machine.
Sure.
Roughly about 3 months after he was in office in 2008, you know, he took an unexpired term, so he immediately took office. Roughly 3 months, there was a giant puff piece about him that appeared in the one of the journals, and it talked about a first day on the job, he took a Sharpie and put a sign in the window and said, "Lawyers only." Let me ask you something. Does that sound like he's trying to put lawyers above people, voters?
What it really sounds like is that he understands one aspect of that office, but to the detriment of the average citizen who is not an attorney. And I'll give you an example. There are certain courts right now that are online filing only. Now, if you are poor, if you are an illegal immigrant trying to get legal status, if you are somebody who has to either rely on pro bono legal service or a court-ordered attorney, you have almost no access to the courts. You have been shut off from the courts. And for him to take this attitude, lawyers only, really does close the office to the rest of Harris County.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's done a good job because the lawyers love the guy. The Democratic lawyers, I guess, and even some Republican lawyers. Hey, I've had a couple Republican judges actively campaigning for the guy in silent. So the entire thing to me of a government official putting one class of people above another, in this case a paid class above an ordinary citizen, just strikes me as odd.
It is odd, but you have to look at also who he's catering to. He's catering mostly to civil judges, civil attorneys. Now, if you talk to a criminal judge, if you talk to a family law judge or family law attorney and so forth, they are furious. There are certain judges who will be remain nameless who have files in their office solely because they're afraid to send them to imaging. Because they know that if they send it to imaging, it will be online, it will ruin whoever's file that is reputation. And these are folks that have since had their lives repaired, they've moved on, and they're living normal lives. And yet, if that file gets put online, it ruins their life.
Is this online filing that you're talking about here, that specifically the family court documents with private children and children's information, is that a project that Charles Backraise or Teresa Chang had in process, or is this something that Lauren has done on his own?
The entire online filing process, to my knowledge, existed well before the incumbent filed for office. And to my knowledge, it could not physically have launched the way that it did within the first 9 months of him taking office without first it being approved by Commissioner's Court, without some plan being in place well in advance. And I am told by several current and former district clerk staff that they had either submitted the ideas or requested approval for these ideas as long ago as 4 years ago.
Could it be that it was rolled out too fast as he came in, and that's why no one bothered to think about this confidential information?
It is a symptom of something being released too early, and we see that with Microsoft Windows. We see that with various software iterations and computerized devices, including the iPhone, which I have right here.
Well, you know, I've taken up a lot of your time, and we're sitting in an airport, which explains all this. This is my first time to do it.
Sure.
You're the guinea pig, because I saw that you were so resilient and that you wouldn't automatically hit me, basically. Let me just ask you.
Sure.
What do you want to tell the voters of Harris County to assure them that all of these rumors, the lies, the distortions, and to assure them that if you are elected, the world really will not end, and that some of the things that you're talking about will actually improve it, and that your opponent was elected in a storm of straight Democratic tickets, and that if you are elected in this storm of Republican straight tickets, that everyone's going to be okay, and the district court is going to run, and people are not going to see a reduction in service.
I will tell you a story. When I was first elected to Lone Star College System, they all thought that hell was breaking loose on that board. And since then, we've become the second largest community college system in Texas, graduating more students than any other community college in Texas, and transferring to more higher education institutions than any other institution in Texas, including Harvard, Stanford, Princeton, Yale, etc., UT, A&M, U of H, not to leave out the local schools. And that happened under my watch. We went from a middle-of-the-road community college to being number two in Texas. Now, as one board member, I don't influence all decisions, but I could have screwed it up as well. And so the point I'm making to the citizens is I have a proven record of doing the right thing to make sure that it is what is best for all concerned. Not just Republicans, not just the poor, not just some isolated group of interests, but everybody. And so as the Eagle Scout, as the engineer, as the law grad, as the business owner, I am aware of what's needed and wanted for both the legal community and the average citizen. We are not going to cut down on services. We're not going to drastically change course on what the judges and attorneys have come to know and expect. But at the same time, we're going to make sure that we're not leaving the citizens behind as well.
One of the things, I thought that was going to be my last question, yeah, but one of the things that your answer reminded me of is during the primary, I talked with, obviously in the primary you had the same kind of thing, so I'm going to rely on that a lot. One of the things that came through during the primary was, and I talked to numerous other officials because we all know it was a pretty dirty, nasty primary.
Yeah.
Okay, one of the things that we learned through the primary process and talking with some of the elected officials that you work with through the Lone Star expansions, actually, people like Senator Dan Patrick, Representative Debbie Riddle, those types, is that they said that you worked well with them. I don't even know what that means other than they were very positive about it, and they said that you were a guy that could help them get things done in that particular setting. Tell me about that.
Well, having worked for Gary Elkins in college part-time as a staffer, I understood the legislative process, I understood what was needed and wanted by both a state senator and a state representative. And that's why even Attorney General Greg Abbott, I'm proud to announce, has for the first time has endorsed in my race for Harris County District Clerk exclusively, and not just supporting all the Republican ticket. And that is because they understand that I know what's needed and wanted and expected of a fellow elected official. I'm not out there with an agenda to throw all caution to the wind or to go to the far right, to the far left. I'm there to get results done. And that comes through as an engineer. We try to get results. We're not trying to have a hill to die upon, to quote Paul Pressler, on one single issue. We're trying to make sure that we get results for everybody.
Okay, Chris, one other question I had about the Lone Star College, your position there. There's been some criticism of you because I guess you missed a lot of meetings last year as you were running for the primary or something, but I know in Chris Moran's article it was there.
Let me clarify. What Chris Moran wrote was my attendance record was worst before the primary started. And that was because I was taking 17 hours in my final semester at law school trying to wrap it up early so that I could focus 100% on both Lone Star College and running the primary and perhaps preparing for the bar exam.
I remember you had to drop out of the bar exam. I remember I was there that day and you were all sad, but you just didn't think you could do both.
I couldn't be 100% prepared, and I didn't want to give my opponent any chance to criticize me for failing an exam, which I know I can pass.
I will vouch for you that you were busting your tail during that period, so we can get beyond that. But one of the on the board meeting things, you know, it wasn't only that you missed. I guess somewhere along the line there was a comment made that all the important business was done before the meeting anyway. Can you clarify?
Sure. I said that the meetings were practically ceremonial, and what I meant by that is that you get the board agenda a week in advance, and all the questions and concerns that you have about each agenda item, you have to address the staff, the chancellor, the various presidents, whoever it affects beforehand. And that is why I made that comment, because I did most of my board work before the board meeting of finding out, well, what is this agenda item? Why do we need to spend X number of dollars on it, and who does it impact? And we didn't necessarily talk to any other board members. No, the majority of the work was done with staff, with the chancellors and the presidents. And
did you ever miss a vote on raising taxes or critical expenditure? Or what did you miss?
I missed mostly, to my knowledge, meetings that didn't really matter to the voter, because it wasn't that we were at the meetings that I missed that we were voting on spending a large amount of money, that we were voting on tax increases or decreases, or that we were voting on budgets. I made the important meetings that mattered to the voters that elected me to office. And that the majority of the time that I missed a meeting, I still made the effort to find out what was needed and wanted on certain agenda items so that nothing snuck through even if I wasn't there. And if there was a concern, we had that removed off the agenda before we would even get to the board meeting, so I wouldn't have to be there to vote against it because there is a concern with that item.
So no open meeting violations?
No open meeting violations. We're not taking that act and turning it into toilet paper. We are making sure that everything that we need to address is addressed in open meetings. And the legwork is done behind the scenes to make sure that we have the dollar figures correctly and that the agenda item is appropriate. But then the concerns and questions that we have about that, once it's set, we do that in open meetings.
Okay, anything else you want to tell the voters?
I just want to thank them for their vote in the primary if they voted for me, and I truly hope they vote for me in the November election. And when I win, they can be rest assured that regardless of what side of the aisle they are on, or where they're from, or who they are, we're going to make sure that they are properly served by the Harris County District Clerk's Office.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, David.